Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Podcast One presents the Steve Austin Show Classics.
And now, here is me and my brother Jeff laying it down.
I don't know. This has never before been done. I just hit a record button this New Year's Eve down here at the Broken Skull Ranch, sitting here with my younger brother, Jeff Williams. He played a couple tunes on his guitar. Jeff, Dad taught himself how to play guitar many years ago when he was in school. And he was in a country western band our entire life. And man, I remember when our parents got a divorce and Mom moved out of Victoria, Scott, me, and Kevin. And she met Ken Williams, your dad and Jennifer's dad. And man, he was dragging us all over the place to his dance jobs when it was Arnold Park and the Mustangs, Ken Williams and the Southerners, all the other bands. And then so you came along and you're 45 now. Man, it just seems like you were about 15 years younger than me back in the day.
I know.
But you're really only 5 years younger than me. I just turned a big 5-0. What got you excited about playing guitar? And what was it? Because you got that genetic from Dad.
I think so. I've always liked music. When I was 12 years old, that's when Dad taught me how to do it. You know, he just sat me down, showed me where some of the chords were, and taught me my first songs. He taught me. He'd write out the words to the songs with a big chord change above each word, and I just went with
Dad
it from
there.
Dad
was always a big chord guy. He played lead guitar,
right?
But he was like an old school chord guy because he does a lot of chords. A lot of guys don't do anymore.
Yeah, and, I mean chords. You don't even know the names of them. He knows what it kind of is, but some stuff that he makes up, it just sounds great. But
so, how are you playing every day these days? I mean, is it, you break out the guitar because back when you lived right outside of Houston, Galveston, in a little town called Santa Fe. You was in a band, y'all played some clubs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So you was playing pretty regular. So now you live in Alaska, you're working out there as a carpenter. You're not picking up the axe as much, you're still playing because you write some songs too.
Yeah.
How much are you playing guitar?
Well, I play every day now. I mean,
an hour or two?
It just depends how much time I got. Sometimes it may be for 5 minutes. Play one song, run over one song, put it, you know, I have it on my stand sitting right there in the living room. I can walk by and pick it up. Sometimes I just sit down and strum a few chords. Sometimes I'll play for, you know, an hour. But I play every day. Back when I was in the band, I played bass in the band, actually, so I didn't really.
Why were you playing the bass? Because they were a guitar player?
Man, that all started when I was still living in Edna. The band I joined, they happened to be looking for a bass player, and I came in as a guitar player, which I wasn't really good at lead. I just rhythm. And the bass player quit, asked me to switch over, and I did it. And I liked it.
How hard was it to switch from rhythm guitar to bass? Because here was my story. I told it many times. I wanted Dad to teach me how to play guitar, but I didn't apply myself. I didn't practice. Plus, I don't have a musical genetic. I did okay in athletics.
Oh, yeah.
So then I figured, okay, I'll play bass guitar because it's two less strings. It'd be easier. You're right. And Dad knew how to play bass, too. So, Dad, we went down to the music store in Victoria, and that blind guy run the music store. Do you remember his name? I can't remember
his name.
His
name was Lou something.
Yeah, so I bought a bass guitar from Lou, and that bass guitar cost me $275, bought my own money. I used Dad's amp, and so Dad was going to teach me how to play, and I never applied myself to play that either. So I gave that up. Now, that was back in the day when Cool and the Gang had ladies' night, and it started out. That was the only thing I could play on that damn bass guitar was the opening two notes of ladies' night from Cool and the Gang. And then Mom and Dad wouldn't buy me a drum kit because it was too loud.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sing. So my dreams of being a rock and roll star were killed. So I turned into a professional wrestler. So back to the question, how easy or how hard was it for you to learn how to play bass?
It was easy because the bass is actually a little bit easier as far as notes and chords goes. But what separates good bass players from people that just play the notes and can hang in there is knowing the techniques and knowing everything there is to know about the bass and the things you can do on it to sound more professional and to do the things, you know.
But there's a lot of guys that, I mean, some of the badass bass players, I mean, because you got your traditional, you know, some country bass, and I mean, it's with all due respect, then you got your other guys like Flea. And your Paul McCartney and all the different runs that those guys do, and it's a whole different level.
Like one of the guys you know, one of the guys from Los Lonely Boys.
Ringo.
Badass bass player.
Yeah, he's a very good bass player.
There's guys like that set themselves apart. Because, yeah, I get that sometimes. I tell people I play bass in a country band. They're like, well, it's got to be the boringest job there is.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, Well, you know, there's other things you can do. You got to feel your way through it. Throw in your licks where you do.
Right.
I've had people compliment me and say, "Hey, you know, I like what you're doing over there, man. You're not just doing. You're not just doing that. You know, don't." And making it sound pretty good. So,
what's the relationship? Because, man, I always wanted to be a musician, but couldn't. The bass player and the drum are the basic. What's the engine of it, right?
Yeah. What always clicks between the drummer and the bass player is they're basically kind of doing the same rhythm. So a lot of times, especially in country music, when you're doing the anytime that bass drum is hitting,
thump,
thump, thump, you're hitting notes on the bass. The bass basically follows the bass drum. And that lays the beat, and that's one of the other things that I enjoyed about playing the bass. Once I get into it, you know, it's kind of set apart from being another guitar player. Because if you can't play lead guitar, if you're not a badass lead guitar player, playing rhythms kind of sucky, you know.
Right.
Because you're just strumming chords, but the bass
feel. I see what you're saying from a player standpoint, but from a person that's listening, you got to have. I mean, there is that added dynamic of the rhythm guitar to play the fills.
Yeah, there is. But it's just something I started enjoying playing the bass, and you know, kind of liking that bottom, that boom, that bass feel. You know, I've always liked bass.
You know, so now, when you play and you play, you know, just on your own, are you playing rhythm? You doing lead?
Yeah, I play mostly rhythm, and I've learned a little bit of leads because I practice so much, and I'm starting to figure out leads a little bit.
Okay, here's a question for you. You've been playing guitar now for 28 years?
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Or give or take. So is there a ceiling to how good you can be depending on how much you apply yourself? Because can anybody be a Stevie Ray Vaughan, who's one of my favorite guitarists of all time? I know you can work hard to put the time in,
right?
But it's almost like I wanted to be a pro football player at one time.
Right.
My talent, as much as I wanted to, my talent or my body wouldn't get me there. Is it the same with being on the guitar?
I think it is. I think it is because there's probably a handful of those guys that can just absolutely just kill it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's guys that have the talent but may not have the extreme talent. Take them to the very top, like a few people do. I mean, otherwise, everybody be doing it, you know.
Yeah, well, if it's easy, everybody be doing it. So what was the deal when you was living in Santa Fe? Like, how was it going trying to go out and, because it's interesting, like, back in the day, I'm still a big Kiss fan, and it's interesting how those four guys came together, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Peter Criss, and Ace Frehley, and together, you know, Ace and Peter, you know, had some issues, and they tapped out, and they always replaced them. But it's just the dynamic of four guys or three guys, if you're like Los Lonely Boys or Stevie Ray Vaughan set up, or Triumph, you know, three-man bands. But so, like, how do you fall in with guys when you were still living in Texas? Just say, hey, dude, I think we would work good together.
Yeah, well, the first band I joined, I happened to move there, and it was a guy I was working with. His brother-in-law was in a band, and they happened to be needing a bass player. I'd only lived in Santa Fe a month.
So just because they needed one, and said, hey,
yeah,
I can do it.
Yeah, and I said, hey, man, I can play bass. And this guy, I went and auditioned at his house, which, you know, it was like, you know, like it's a big deal. And this guy was auditioning me, you know, being his garage band. But
how'd the audition go?
Oh, I'll never forget it, man. He played a few songs on his CD and on his guitar. He didn't have the whole band there.
Yeah.
And I just plucked along with that kind of stuff. And he asked me if I could sing. I said, yeah, I'd sing a little bit. He said, what do you sing? I said, well, I can do The Dance by Garth Brooks. And he goes, I hate Garth Brooks. And I'm like, well, fuck, there goes my shit, you know. But he sent me on down the way. I think the next day he called me and offered me the job. And it started out, I mean, you know, we were one of the hottest bands in Santa Fe, in that whole area, for a while, man. We had us a real good group, and
So what was the deal with Garth Brooks? Some people love him, some people hate him. Did people hate him because he got so successful? I thought, man, the guy, you know, I'm a George Strait guy. Merle Haggard, Conway Twitty, George Jones, Keith Whitley. George Strait's my number one guy, but, I mean, I got to give the respect to Garth Brooks. His favorite was, I mean, he was a George Strait guy. But, I mean, the dude kicked ass. He sold out a lot of rings, and he's still doing it. Why do so many people dislike him? Because he put on a show. He wasn't pop. I wouldn't say it was pop. What's your take on that?
No, it wasn't pop. I think.
Well, you like Garth Brooks or not?
I like some of his stuff. Some of his older stuff. I do. And
I can say that about a lot of people that are like all of their stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But, I mean, as a performer, I'm not going to put him in my top 10,
but I recognize the talent. And, I'm like a guy, like, I never really got into the Who. I never was a gigantic Led Zeppelin fan. And right. I never was a giant Rolling Stones fan. You know, those three are the biggest bands that ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really do much for me. But anyway, speaking of Garth Brooks, you do the dance.
Yeah.
How about cranking that one out?
All right.
Play one.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared. Stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? Then now, glad I didn't know that it all would end the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. Holding you, I feel everything for a moment. The key. But if I'd only known how the king would fall, then who's to say I might have changed it all? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. It's our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the
time. We got a 2-year-old baby. Old Sophie's over there building blocks and all kinds of stuff. So if you hear a baby in the background, that's my little niece Sophie over here from Alaska. They over here visiting the Broken Skull Ranch. They heading back out tomorrow.
Not a soul in sight. The city's looking like a ghost town on a lonesome night. Raindrops on the windshield, the storm moving in. It's heading back to somewhere that it never should have been. The thunder rolls. Every light is burning in a house across town. He's pacing by the telephone in a faded flannel gown, asking for a miracle and hoping she's not right, praying it's the weather that's kept them out all night. And the thunder rolled. As a storm blows on out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls. She's pacing by the window when he pulls into the drive. Rushes out to hold him, thankful he's alive. With all the wind and rain, a strange new perfume blows. Lightning flashes in her eyes, he knows that she knows. Thunder rolls. Thunder rolls. Thunder. Sleepless night as a storm blows on out of control. You draw the thunder
Jeff was playing the Thunder Rolls. I went into the kitchen, got me some of this American-born moonshine, apple pie, 83 proof. Boy, I tell you what, this stuff goes down good. Swig of moonshine for the working man. Got a jam session here going on with my brother, Jeff Williams, in from Alaska. Jeff, what's one of your favorite songs to play? Now,
I know
Kristen has her
favorite.
Which one? One
your Jeff song. Wrote?
Which song?
The song.
Yeah, the one you wrote.
Oh. Yeah, I've got some new songs now.
Yeah, but play that old favorite. That,
and then we'll
that
play
we both
some
like.
New ones because I like that one.
Okay. But, man, getting back to your question, though, what's my favorite song to play? Man, that's a very hard question to answer. There's a lot of good songs. I can't really say.
Beethoven's Ninth?
That I have a favorite. But
well,
one thing
is for my wife right now. I'd push it. We're trying to make an award-winning podcast.
Well, Beethoven's Ninth is a great song.
I liked his fifth better, but each his own. Yeah. Dude, I can't believe you weren't a bigger Stevie Ray Vaughan fan than you are.
I'm a fan of his ability, I'll tell you that. But
yeah.
The blues kind of gets repetitious to me. It gets where it kind of all sounds the same.
Some of the guitar licks do indeed sound the same a lot.
But,
yeah, and I'm
but
not
that
a
don't mean
player.
I don't like
yeah,
it.
I
feel
you on that. Yeah,
he did, and what his ability, because, you know, being a musician, hell, even you're not a musician, but you know he was a bad son of a bitch, too.
Yeah.
But, and then again, you know, me not being a guitar aficionado, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, people just playing scales and the pentatonic, you know, everything is what it is. But anyway, let's get back to the song,
play a song
that we wanted you to play.
Like.
All right. No, it's the one that you like that he wrote a
I
long
like
time
this
ago.
One. I think it's a great song.
Well, let him play it. Swig of moonshine for the man that's married to the woman who won't stop running her mouth while her brother and him trying to make a podcast, him playing a guitar.
Here you go, Kristen.
Driving down the skimpy road, a long, long way from home. Searching for the secrets to eternity. Nighttime's a-falling on my lonesome state of mind. Where am I gonna go tonight? What am I gonna find? But I don't believe
Well, I don't believe in loving you, 'cause you left me out in the cold. Looking back at the love we had, it was just so hard to see what exactly came between you and me. Long days and the lonely nights, the two of us spent apart. You wrecked the ending to a perfect start. Now you're gone, I realize your love was never true, 'cause you've done things I would never do. Oh, I don't believe in loving you, 'cause you left me so long ago. Oh, I don't believe in loving you, 'cause you left me so long ago.
Man, you and Jenny always make a hell of a tag team when you guys play together. Yeah. And now Emma, Jennifer's daughter, I've taught herself how to play guitar, and man, she sings like a damn angel.
Oh, she's unbelievable. Yeah. Her voice.
Yeah, her musical Christmas ability.
Unbelievable.
Your dad is my stepdad, but we never bring the step into the equation when we're talking about our family. Yep. Technically, you and me are half brothers, but we never look at it like that. And I always give Dad so much credit for marrying my mother. When she moved to Victoria, she had three hell-raising kids, and then she met Ken Williams and married him. And then I remember walking by and Dad in the woods many years ago, and it'd be Scott, and it'd be me, and it'd be Kevin. And we were always stepping on every stick that you could step on, and my dad was perpetually looking behind himself at us, you know, with that finger in front of his face, like, God damn it, y'all be quiet. And he said, shh. And he got us, you know, hunting, and to this day, here we are at Broken Skull Ranch.
Yeah.
And Dad's going to be 80 this year,
June
16th.
And he's going to be 80 years old, and he beat cancer 10, 11 years ago. And he taught me, always tell me, you know, tell people he taught me everything I know and give me my values. And don't get me wrong, I fucked up many times. Well, what was the biggest lesson Dad passed on to you, or what was some of the things that you got out of Dad being your father?
Man, just the value of always being there, man. Dad was always being there for everybody, man, no matter what. 100% support, no matter what you wanted to do.
But he always told me, he goes, Steven, he goes, if you ever going to do something, do it right the first time so you ain't got to come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And his other favorite saying was, Steve, don't ever half-ass anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do something, do it all the way.
Yes, sir.
And that was a couple things that he always told me.
Yeah.
And always stuck by. And I remember, like, you know, being a running back, you know, Dad was a running back at Rice University in Houston, Texas. Now, to anybody that's of any age, this was back in Rice, was a Southwest Conference powerhouse and coached by Jess Neely. And he was, he got a scholarship playing for the Yokum Bulldogs went up at Rice University and was one of the star running backs. Mm-hmm. And I was running back in high school. And, you know, he'd always, you know, give me advice. Or sometimes I'd have a real good game. Sometimes I'd have a good game. But he was always there. He would never want him dad. You hear about these people on TV these days, and they get on their kids too much. They push them too hard and too fast. And dad was just always like, man, if I had a good game or a shit game, he would pat me on the back and say, good job, Steve. Yep. Best you could.
That's it.
But he's a hell of a man. He just left out of here. We had some issues going on back down there at Edna, so he had to leave. I was hoping to record both of you guys playing the guitars. Now, what's another good song you got, Jeff? What's another cover that you like doing?
What's kind of weird is, since I've started writing, I've kind of gotten away from playing cover songs.
Well, what's the latest, greatest one that you wrote that you dig right now?
There's this little song called Lying in My Arms.
Hey, I'm coming right back. I'm going to take a pause for the calls. And let's do a few words from our sponsors, the people that keep the show on the air for free. Going back with my brother Jeff Williams, and he's going to sing Lying in My Arms. Coming right back.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
Hey, man, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
All right, here we are. Jeff Williams sitting here, my wife, my illustrious wife, Kristen Austin, the happiest woman in the world. But I'm my best joke of all time. All right, Jeff, Lying in My Arms.
I was listening to a song one day, and it was a guy, and one of the lyrics was that this girl was lying in his arms all cozy and cuddly and all loving and everything, and something just hit me like that to switch that around a little bit, you know, so this is what I come up with.
Lying here beside me, I'm feeling something wrong. Even though you tell me that I'm the only one, I think your mind is somewhere else. You just don't feel the same. It's time you let me know. Stop playing all these games. Thinking you're doing no harm. I'm holding on to something. I'm riding out the storm. So girl, if you don't love me, don't keep me hanging on. Just give it to me straight. Stop lying in my arms. How long has it been since you had me in your heart? And would you be happy if the two of us were apart? Yeah, you used to fool me, telling all your lies. But when I look real deep, I can see in your eyes. Thinking you're doing no harm. I'm holding on to something. I'm riding out the storm. So girl, if you don't love me, don't keep me hanging on. Just give it to me straight. Stop lying in my arms. Of love than lost, or never to have loved at all. But I guess they didn't know you, but they damn sure got it wrong. Cause you're lying in my arms, and thinking you're doing no harm. I'm holding on to something. hand. I'm riding out the storm. So girl, if you don't love me, don't keep me hanging on. Just give it to me straight and stop lying in my arms. Yeah, just give it to me straight and stop lying in my arms. Lying in
Hey, take me to the songwriting process. You're sitting there with a piece of paper, guitar, what are you doing?
Well, a lot of times these thoughts and ideas and phrases are coming to your head when you're just like washing dishes or something, yep. You know? And that's when you got to shut everything down and go grab a piece of paper, because that shit will, as soon as it's in your head, it's out and you'll forget. Yep. So you go start writing these ideas down. And sometimes I'll sit down and come up with a little riff, and all of a sudden, that's a good idea for so-and-so. But most of the time, what I found myself doing is I'll come up with the chorus first and then kind of build around that. Because a lot of the things that pop into my head when I'm just driving down the road or if I'm at work or whatever are mostly like lines for a chorus.
Right.
You know, that most of the time includes the title of the song, this, that, and the other. And I'll start with it and work your verses around that.
Right.
I've been playing the guitar for a long time and never even thought about writing songs. And all of a sudden, one day I just sat down and just started doing it.
You know, and I was hearing stories. Cool. A lot of times the guy was at a diner, and all of a sudden the idea hit him, and he got the napkin out of the napkin holder and sat there and wrote a song in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And on a similar note, but on a way simpler note, I mean, hell, sometimes I would be riding down the road back in the day when I was still wrestling, and I'd think about a good idea for a T-shirt just by looking at a billboard or something like that. So mm-hmm. I'd take a piece of paper and write it down so I didn't forget it, because I don't know how many times, and I bet you've done this before, I thought of a good idea to do something, and then I said, okay, I'll just remember that in the morning. I wake mm-hmm. up in the morning, I'll remember.
Yep.
And you probably had a damn good idea for a song and forgot it as well.
Oh, yeah. And then you kick yourself for not able to get somewhere and write it down or whatever. And sometimes I've had it come back to me, and it works out from there.
So then who do you think would be, okay, maybe not people that influenced you, but who do you like to listen to? What were some of the biggest country music stars that you enjoyed hearing?
I mean, George Strait, Merle Haggard, you know, some of the guys we've been talking about. Alan Jackson, I like him. Alan Jackson's he writes most of all his own stuff, and he's kind of true to honky tonk country music is you know, from what I like. You know, of course, when I was back in high school and everything, I was listening to heavy metal and, you know, everything from Metallica to Iron Maiden to whatever, Dio, all them guys like that, you know, all them bands like that. And as I got older, I kind of switched over to country music.
What's the music scene in Kodiak, Alaska? Is anybody out there that you can hook up with and get in a band out there?
It's
a small town.
It's a small town. There's not really a whole lot of places to play around there. But
Do you miss it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I miss it a lot.
What do you like about being on stage? Me being in the ring, you know, I was, you know, dealing with a crowd, you know, working a crowd, putting on the show for a crowd. Right. Is being on the stage and singing the same thing?
Yeah.
Does it matter? I mean, you sitting there playing for me, and Kristen comes in here every now and then. But, you know, what's the difference between playing in front of 20 versus 500?
Sitting down playing in front of a few people, I get more nervous than I would if I was on stage with 500 or 600 people playing in front of, you know, 100 people or whatever. I mean, there's been times we played in front of 5 people, and we've had some pretty crowds in our times, man.
I've been in front of a few myself.
You know. But sometimes we'd get the good gigs, and, you know, when you see everybody out on the dance floor dancing to your music and clapping and coming up and tell you, you know, filling up the tip jar too, you know, that makes you feel good. But I just enjoy being with other people and listening to all the different instruments, you know, following that drummer. Listening to the steel player rattle off a good lick, or listening to the keyboard player do his thing, you know, and everybody taking their turn, and having a big professional sound system, you know. That's what I like about that, playing in bands.
What else you got to play for us today?
Okay, I just wrote this in about a month and a half ago.
And you never did? Did you write it down? Did you get it memorized?
Yeah.
See, man, like, it's funny because when Dad comes out here and plays, Dad's almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
And every time he comes out, he's got a pile of music that he puts on a music stand because he can't remember the lyrics from nothing.
I know.
And, you know, about one or two he remembers the whole thing too. But other than that, I mean, he can't remember nothing.
So, I used to be the same way. Back in the past, I'd have me a big old sheet music. But here lately, man, I found myself able to memorize lyrics a lot better for some reason. And plus, it seemed like when you're writing them, when you write your own music, you can remember them almost instantly. And there's been a couple of my songs where I'd have to, for about a week or so, because I'd play them every night after I write them, for about a week or so, I'd have to look at the lyrics. But I memorize them pretty fast.
What's the next song you're going to sing for us?
This song is going to be called Down the Road.
Down the road. I'll catch you down the road.
Hey, that's basically what it says.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about a girl who's kind of threatening to leave this old boy, you know, and trying to hem-haw him around. And finally he gets the point, well, if you're going to leave, then get out. that's kind of where I got this from. See if I can do it.
Swill your beer for the down the road, man.
Heard it through the grapevine, you've been running around. Well, good news sure does travel fast in this one-horse town. I guess I'll chalk it up as done to save a little bit of my pride. But don't you think the grass is any greener on the other side? So if you're leaving and get on down the road, cards are on the table, baby, I fold. Crank up that Chevy truck and let them horses go. Cause if you're leaving, then get on down the road. Don't go feeling sorry for me, I don't want your sympathy. You put these chains around my heart, now it's time you set me free. I'll be alright in a day or two, yeah, I'm gonna be just fine. So go ahead and do what you gotta do and let me get on with my life. But if you're leaving and get on down, cards are on the table, but baby, I fold. Back up that Chevy truck, let them horses go. Cause if you leave, then get on down.
Get your ass down the damn road. Oh, yeah. I like that one. Hey, Jeff, a long time ago, Dad wrote a song called Breakdown, and this is one y'all played together because you kind of fed off each other and one would fill in the other gaps.
Yeah.
You still got the memory on that one?
Yeah, probably do.
I mean, it's not going to be the same dynamic because Dad's not doing the other part of it, but hit that for a few licks if you can.
All right.
Thank you.
tell you what, I wish Dad was here to play that out. Hey, man, speaking about Dad and that song that he wrote way back in the day, I was sitting there thinking, man, I can't remember your first car, because the rule was in our house, you know, when you got old enough to drive, you had to buy your own car. I mean, you had to work a summer job, and we all worked our asses off. And hell, man, I'm sitting there trying to think. I can remember everybody's first car but yours.
Oh, what man, was it? I can't believe you
forget. Oh, man.
Come on, man. The Red Rocker.
I forgot it, man.
It was your first.
Jesus H. Christ.
It wasn't your first
car.
How could
I forget that one?
Hell, yeah.
Damn, 83 proof moonshine done working on my ass. I forgot.
Yo, memory lock.
That's why it was so close to me. Jeffrey's first car was a 1973 Chevrolet Camaro, which originally was dark blue. I bought that car. I was the second owner from my Uncle Lynn, who was based out of San Antonio.
Bought it brand new.
350 Corvette motor with a 4-speed air conditioner, factory air conditioning, power steering, power brakes. Man, that was a bad son of a bitch.
Oh, I love that car.
And then I had Scott paint it red. And Scott was going to junior college in Kilgore. And it was driving it back. He had a flat tire on his rear left. And that tire flipped off and beat out of the side of that damn car. Anyway, I got the big idea. I wanted to sell that car and sold it to you. I think I sold it to you for $1,500.
$800.
God damn, I gave you a hell of a deal. Well, see, that's one thing, dude. I know you didn't talk me down for $1,500.
No, it had a rust on it.
Oh, it didn't have no rust on it. Man, come on now.
No, man, the whole door was rusted out. Well, man, I give you credit.
Come on, Jeff.
That probably happened about a year after I had it. All the Bondo Scott put on it.
Yeah. Well, Scott took that thing to Kilgore and had it painted. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think it was the most professional bodywork that it has ever performed on a 1973 Camaro.
I didn't care, though.
But, man, that was a badass car. How long did you have that thing for?
I bought that somebody when I was 15 before I had a license. That somebody sat in the driveway for 6 months, man. And you know Dad at insurance, man, he wouldn't let nobody drive it on a license.
Yeah.
Every now and then, Mom let me take that somebody around the block, and I'd burn it. I'd go around the block in record time, man. But I got rid of it when I was a senior in high school, so I had it about 4 years.
And then what'd you get next?
It was a white 1979 Camaro, but
that 79 Camaro.
Yeah,
man, because I remember. I think I sold you that red Camaro because I think I had found a lady. I think I was at North Texas State at that time, and there was a 1976 gunmetal blue Monte Carlo with 23,000 original miles. The lady had Lou Gehrig.
Remember
disease.
That car? Yeah,
yeah, I bought that car. I thought I needed something, you know, a little more dependable. Well, the Camaro was dependable. I was just ready for a new car, basically, and found this thing. It was a cream puff, and that's what I was driving when I was at North Texas State playing football.
Well, it had more room in it. It was a little bigger car, you know.
Yeah, man, but, you know.
But, that 73, I kind of ran it in the ground a little bit, you know, and decided I wanted something else. And we went to Houston, and Scott was living there, and he helped us find that car. But I wanted, like, a Trans Am or something, you know, but it was always too expensive. So I ran across it, and this was a cream puff, too. It had 47,000 miles on it. Bought it from a lady who drove it back and forth from college right there in Houston. And it only had a 305 in it. You know, I still wanted something that was kind of a hot rod.
Right.
But we were getting ready to leave Houston, and Dad was like, well, you know, we ain't found nothing. Either take this one, or we'll come back in a couple weeks and see what we can find. And I was like, I didn't want to be without a car. So I said, well, let's go ahead and
burn
get this
hand
one.
Burn hand and work two in a bush.
Go ahead and get it. And, man, I drove it somebody back in Houston and fell in love with it. Yeah. But it got so much. It was clean. I mean, it was in great shape, and I probably
you still into cars. I've always been a car guy, man. I mean, now I'm kind of into trucks, but like, what's your favorite car?
Oh man,
favorite muscle car.
I'd have to say, I mean, just because I've driven them and I've owned them, the older Camaros and older Corvettes, but you got your different body styles, you know, your bit different classes, like on your GTOs are badass cars, but I never had one, so.
I always dug a GTO. I always was a big fan of the Stingray style Corvette, and that's on my wish list. Before I die, I'm gonna have a Stingray Corvette with that body style. Now, here's the thing: I had a couple of Z06. What do they call them? Corvettes. I don't remember what they call them anymore. That's what
Z07.
Steel chairs. Yeah, don't let nobody hit you in the head with steel chairs. hold on. What's your name and why are you here? But anyway, I had a couple of Z06s, but I want one of them old Stingrays. But the thing about those things is, with my knees, getting out of them things is a rip because they're so low to the ground. So if I get a Stingray, I'm going to put a lift kit on it and make it four-wheel drive. So I'm going to make it the same height as a Ford Bronco. So
why
I can
not?
Step in and out of it and not have any headaches.
Why not?
Now, what you think about that?
Why not?
Jeff, sing another song. Let's wrap this thing up.
I'm gonna slow it down a little bit.
You going to sing a ballad or you going to sing a duet? Because, man, I went to George Strait concert. 105,000 people there. Mm-hmm. Best concert I've been to my life. And he sang a song with Martina McBride, Jackson. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You want to sing Jack's with me? And I'll sing her part. You sing George's. What is that, a no or what?
I don't think I know that song,
man. Break that goddamn guitar parts offset.
I don't think you know that song, but you
I don't either. It was a rib. What are you going to sing for us?
A song called Simple Man. It's kind of a little.
Now, Skinner done wrote that. This is Simple.
You can have.
This is Simple Man, the original, too.
There are songs that have the same titles. I've researched that. It's not a crime to have the same title.
I know.
Don't sound the same. As long as it don't sound the same.
That same thing Dad told
me. Yeah, somebody already wrote that song.
Well, I know, but that's the thing. At the Broken Skull Ranch, you ain't going to come out of here unscathed. Okay, here we go. Simple Man.
One day at a time, that's all we can get in this life. We can't take for granted one single thing. We make mistakes along the way, might be hell to play. Just leave the past behind and go on your way. Live your life like you want. There's not one day to borrow. Follow your dreams and do the best you can. Stand up for what you believe. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Live a simple life and be a simple man. Spend a little more time with your little girl, cause in her eyes you are the world. Cherish every moment before they pass. And tell the ones you love just how you feel, cause that's the best thing that's real. Life is too short and goes so fast. So live your life like it's tomorrow, there's not one day tomorrow. Follow your dreams and do the best you can. Stand up for what you believe. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Live a simple life and be a simple man. Now when you look back on all you've done, make sure you had some fun. One day your number will be shown. No regrets, I would do the same. Make sure above my name, these words are written on my stone. You gotta just live your life like you love tomorrow, there's not one day you can borrow. Follow your dreams and do the best you can. Stand up for what you believe. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Live a simple life and be a simple man. Live your life like you love tomorrow, there's not one day you can borrow. Follow your dreams and do the best you can. Stand up for what you believe. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Live a simple life and be a simple man. Live a simple life and be a simple
song, Jeff.
Thank
How
you.
Long did it take you to wrestle that one up?
Not very long. About 20, 30 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, man.
That's a damn good song right there. That had a little bit of that Texas flavor we was talking about.
Yeah, a little bit. That one does. The other ones are kind of a Texas style. They're just a little more upbeat and kind of a rockish type, you know. But that's kind of what I like. But that one, I don't know where it really came from. It just...
Hey, man,
just
but it kind of smells like it is.
Yeah.
That Les Paul was kind of the signature hard rock guitar for me.
Yeah. Les Paul's an awesome guitar. I'd love to have a Les Paul just to play it, you know, but just to have one, because there is a big difference between a Les Paul and a Fender. If you want this kind of tone, play your Fender. You're going to do rock and do all that, then get you a Les Paul.
Okay, Les Paul is an awesome guitar. You got a steel guitar. Okay, and a steel guitar... It's on a set of legs, and it's laid out
right on
horizontal, you know, parallel to the ground.
Right on.
And the guy's got some pedals. But I always heard steel guitar was a real something that's learned how to play. What's so hard about the steel guitar? Have you ever played steel guitar?
No.
Do you understand the concept behind it?
Mm-mm. I don't at all. I know it's, you know, the strings are probably about an inch and a half or 2 inches off the frets. And the only reason why the frets are there is so you know where you are on the notes. On a guitar, you got to press the strings down. On a steel, you don't press anything down. Everything is done with a slide, which is a piece of glass tubing that goes over your finger.
I thought it was a metal rod. I thought it was a big piece of steel.
Well, either or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
No, you're right.
That's what I always
thought it was. A slide is used for the guitar.
Yeah, it ain't no slide.
No, you're right. It's a metal rod that they kind of hold like that, you know. And, everything's with a sliding motion. You don't push down on fret to make your notes like you do on a guitar. And then they also have pedals on the floor and also rods that come down that you can push to side to side with your knees to adjust the pitch.
Zach White, a long time ago, they were playing Ozfest in San Antonio. He was down at the Riverwalk. I was heading down to his hotel. I said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" He goes, "No, man, I'm at the hotel. We're just messing around. I'm just walking around playing the fiddle." When he says fiddle, he means guitar. So, you know, sure enough, I showed up at the hotel with a half gallon of Crown Royal, and we tore up San Antonio that night.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm talking to Zach, man, religiously, he goes through his scales every single day. Now, I don't know all the different scales. Scale. Now, man, that's him. That dude is, well, I mean, he's been around for a long-ass time,
mm-hmm.
one of the best guitar players on planet Earth. Now, how much time do you spend doing the basics of playing scales to work on technicality?
I really haven't gotten into scales until maybe about a year ago when I kind of got interested in trying to play lead. And I just got online and got some videos, some teaching videos, and they show you the pentatonic, which is a simple one.
Now, what do they mean by pentatonic? I'm saying it just because I heard it, but I don't know what it means.
I don't know where the word comes from. It's just a scale. You have your different pentatonic or something like it goes like this, like A. That's your A chord. It's your A scale. It goes. Okay, so if you're playing a lead in A, everything generates around those notes. So you can go. There's your scale, you know, kind of. And then you can change it around. Instead of just going up, you can jump around.
Okay, now what you just played right there, was that something you've been working on? I mean, because some people just start jamming, and you get into a jam session, you just start riffing. I always talk to Zach, and I said, Zach, when you're playing one of those badass solos, I said, what are you thinking? He goes, oh, Steve, you ain't thinking. Mm-hmm. He goes, if you're thinking, you're stinking. Because you can't think about, because the way your fingers are moving, you're just doing it.
Right.
Is that correct? I mean, well, you got to be thinking a little bit, but I mean, it's almost a natural instinct.
Yeah,
we're talking about Zach Wild and me here, man.
Yeah. I'm thinking. Maybe that's why I'm stinking. But it's definitely a work in progress. You got to know what you're doing and where you're at. And then, but guys like that, I'm sure it just comes so natural to a lot of people. And not everybody has the natural ability probably to be a good lead player. But I've heard and going on the videos and everything, the scales is where it's at. You practice your scale, and that's just one of them. There's so many, and some of them get more complicated, different note, and it sound different. You got blues scale, you got your like Spanish music type scales, and just all kinds of different.
You got a song?
Yeah, quite a bit, I know.
What is it?
A song called Time Heals Everything. Kind of about anybody who's ever had the broken heart syndrome or whatever, had their heart broken, and I've been down that road. You think you'll never get over it, and all of a sudden one day, just hits you, done. You're over it. I've been through that, man. All of a sudden one day, whole new person. So that's kind of where this came from. Huh? Time heals everything.
Time heals everything.
Girl, when you left me, you broke my heart in two. Man, I felt so empty, I didn't know what to do. I just kept to myself, trying not to go insane. I never thought I'd see the day, I did not feel the pain. Well, I can feel the sunlight shining, I can see the light of day. Tell me, I'm like an open book. Man, it feels so good inside to finally be over you. The rain clouds have passed me by, all I see are skies of blue. 'Cause I can feel the sunlight shining, I can see the light of day. Everything.
time is everything. Yeah, use everything.
I like that song. Let me ask you a question. But let's get Brun over.
Where?
In that guitar.
You want to hear another ballad? You want to hear another? I got another slow one I can do.
What kind of ballad you got?
It's a little song called In My Dreams.
So what's this one about?
Kind of a story about a guy who kind of hadn't found the right woman for him yet or whatever, and basically, you know, goes to sleep at night and dreams about this person who he thinks is the perfect person, you know, and then in his dreams, and then one day he meets her, and his dream comes true. He ends up living his dream by being with this person. Do a little something like this.
Follow me and I'll
That's a good song, man. I like that.
Thank you.
When did you write that one?
That was the first song.
But that's the first time I ever heard it.
I know. I haven't seen you since then.
Yeah.
I wrote that song about a year and a half ago.
Well, it wasn't the first song you wrote because that one you played, you know.
Oh, well, that song I played earlier, actually, another guy, he wrote the music for it, and I actually used some of his chorus to it, but I wrote my own verses to it.
Right.
So that song wasn't all completely my idea.
Oh, okay.
And so I can't take 100% credit for that one. But this song here, the song I just did, was the first one I wrote. And I was sitting there one night in bed, talking about dreaming about it. I don't know if I was necessarily dreaming about anybody, but it is something that clicked in your head. Dream Girl. And it all works together because you lay in there, might be dreaming about something, and all of a sudden you meet the girl of your dreams, right. So she's still there the whole time you're there.
So what, did you jump up and grab a pen and start writing? Did you remember it the next day, or you just had
it was something where I probably came up with the very first line was what I come up with. I closed my eyes so I can see you.
Right.
You know, that's a fancy way of saying I'm going to go to bed to dream about you, you know.
Right.
I close my eyes, you know what I'm saying? It's got that art, that poetry type, artistic type of deal. And that was the first line in it. And then, I don't know, a few days later, maybe a week later, when the rest of it kind of came to me.
I made a pretty good living as Stone Cold Steve Austin, a tough-ass dude in a ring talking a lot of trash. But I dig some poetry, you know, and the way people put words together and how they do that. With that being said, do you ever read any poems or you think of that as you're writing a song?
No.
Any kind of structure?
No, not really. I just kind of come up with it with a rhythm, with a little riff or rhythm and a few lines and then rhymes here and there. You know, you just come up with stuff that clicks and it comes. And there have been times where I've had these ideas on a song and I'd sit there. And you try to come up with stuff, and you try, and it doesn't come. You just gotta kind of walk away and save it for another day, because a lot of songwriters tell you if it don't come quick, you're trying too hard. It ain't gonna happen. And most songs that people write, they'll tell you, man, they'll write them in a few minutes.
What do you think about old Jamie Johnson? He's kind of in that new age outlaw type thing. He kind of reminds me a little bit back in the day of the Waylon Willie days, but certainly. You know, he wants to be on the radio.
Oh,
what do you think about Jimmy Johnson?
I like him, but he's kind of one of those guys that I guess Nashville kind of pushed him aside, man, for some reason. I think he's kind of been in some of those group of guys that, you know, they'll just go play their honky-tonks and play their – and cater to their people. They got people who follow them.
No doubt, he's got a great following. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily the Nashville scene, and a lot of them have accepted that. They don't care. Like, they're basically saying, "Look, Nashville, you know, we're going to do our thing," and that's kind of where the Texas music thing, the revolution of that, they all kind of do their own thing.
But not talking about Nashville. What do you think about the guy,
Jamie Johnson?
Yeah.
Oh, I like him. I think he's great.
Hey, hell of a songwriter.
Oh yeah,
he's one of those guys. Though, when I listen to his music. For some reason, and I don't know Jamie Johnson, don't know nothing about him other than I like his music. But the way he sings his songs, I feel like he has been there and he has lived it.
Yeah.
That's what I get out of guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you can kind of
look
authentic.
At it. It's
authentic. And when you look at him performing, too, you see him feeling what he's singing. And I mean, that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. That's why I get pleasure out of singing all this stuff that I've written. Because a lot of it comes from here, and it comes from my own mind, so you kind of have a different outlook on performing it, singing
it.
You put more into it than if you're sitting down here playing somebody else's song.
Right.
You know?
It's your interpretation of your song.
Exactly. It's not somebody
else's. Which is your
words.
Interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the originator. Mm-hmm. You can dig it, but it is what it is. Jeff, we took a little break. You went out and fetched your beer out of the freezer. I grabbed me another cold one. I got some moonshine on the table, a little apple pie flavor. Ringing in the new year as we speak.
This
just played down the road, we don't know, but this is when it happened. And Georgia Tech just opened up a can of whoop-ass on Mississippi State. What you going to bring out of the well now? What's the song about?
This song is called Going Back Again.
Going Back Again?
Yep.
What's your name?
Kind of about a guy who kind of lives the lifestyle of a, likes to hang out in bars and party, kind of a party guy, likes to realize that it's just kind of life he likes to live. And so it's kind of, that's what it's about. Go like this.
I'm flying down this highway, I'm doing about 110. With the same old road time and time again. Life in the fast lane ain't ever slowing down. Someone just bought another round. Yeah, one day I might settle down, but I just don't know when. Cause I like raising hell with all my friends. Well, I don't know where I'm going, Lord, but I know. I'm going back again. Well, I work hard every day, I'm putting that hammer down. I can't wait till Friday rolls around. When I see that neon sign flashing, y'all just come on in. And looks like I'm going back again. Yeah, one day I might settle down, but I just don't know when. Cause I like raising hell with all my friends. Well, I don't know where I'm going, Lord, but I know where I've been. And looks like I'm going back again. Sitting on this bar stool with cold beer in my hand. I throw down a shot every now and then. Well, it may not be the good life, but it makes me a happy man. And it looks like I'm going back again. Yeah, one day I might settle down, but I just don't know when. Cause I like raising hell with all my friends. Well, I don't know where I'm going forward, but I know. I'm going back again. Yeah, one day I might settle down, but I just don't know when. Cause I like raising hell with all my friends. Well, I don't know where I'm going, Lord, but I know where I've been. And it looks like I'm going back again. And I can't wait to get on back again.
Might have been a storm in my life for a couple of years.
Mine too, brother.
Hey, a long time ago, Dad wrote a song. Him and Mom wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it called?
Nothing Left to Drink To.
You know that?
Yeah.
I done forgot it. This is a song that my dad wrote. It's probably been 40 years ago that Mom and Dad wrote this song. Do you remember the words?
Mm-hmm.
It's called There's Nothing Left to Drink To, But the Party's Going On.
Sorry,
and they recorded this on a little 45, and I can't remember what was, on, what was on the B side, but they put this on a record.
I don't remember either.
And I had one of those records, and I lost it. It's like I lose everything. Bust out. There's nothing left to drink to, but the party's going strong. Written by my dad, Ken, and my mom, Beverly.
Another day is gone. I should be headed home. Just a drink or two will help me pass the time. Cause time is all I seem to have since you've been gone. There's nothing left to drink to, but the party is going strong. Even in this crowd, my thoughts are still of you. Of the times we had the love that we once
life of me, I can't think what went wrong. Nothing left to drink to, but the party is going strong. There's nothing left to drink to, but the party is going strong. Your memory has caused me to live this way too long. So set them up, my friend, I'll give it one more try. Find a way to make my heart tell her goodbye. I'll just sit right here till all the pain is gone. There's nothing left to drink to, but the party is going strong. There is nothing left to drink to, but the party is going strong. Your memory has caused me. Set them up, my friend, I'll give it one more try. Find a way to make my heart tell her goodbye. I'll just sit right here till all the pain is gone. There's nothing left to drink to, but the party going strong. Yeah, there's nothing left to drink to, but the party's going strong.
There you go, Ken.
That was a damn good song written by mom and dad back
in the day. Damn sure
was. Hey, man, I was talking last time we recorded about dad when he went through cancer. Where were you when you heard out the news that dad had the big C?
I was in Galveston, Texas, working.
So what did you think when you heard that news? Because it shocked me and it just crushed me.
Me too. Yeah, very sad and just really didn't know what to think, kind of. You know, I was getting a little bit in shock. At first,
well, because the thing about it is, like, our dad, man, he's one of the strongest guys in the world. I mean, dad was in his prime. Dad's 6'2", about 205, 210 pounds, mm-hmm. Sinewy kind of build. Back in his younger days, he looked like Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
A good-looking guy.
Yeah,
and, man, just a badass athlete. He was a speed demon. He played halfback for the Yoakum Bulldogs. And just a badass cat. And, man, I tell you
for
what.
Sure.
It was funny because when my dad used to have those come to Jesus meetings with us, we would get our ass whooped.
Mm-hmm.
He handed us our ass, and we got whipped by a belt. But that's what we were brought up. And, you know, people are a little bit politically sensitive to that stuff now, but that's how we was raised.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it was, dad used to cry after he had to whip Scott, me, or Kevin because we weren't really his kids. And it hurt him to do it, but he had to, you know, because we outgrew mom's whippings.
Yeah.
And so dad started whipping us. But anyway, I just got so much respect for the guy and then liked the work ethic that he instilled in all of us. And because he was such a strong guy, dad was one of those guys. He was just always so low-key and relaxed. And when he told you something, and he looked you in the eyes and he gave you his word,
mm-hmm.
that was the way it was.
Oh, yeah.
And if he told you something, then that was it. If you made a deal, that was it. If you shook your hand, that was it. But if he told you to do something, that's what he wanted you to do.
No doubt.
And he didn't hope you did it. He expected you to do it. And if you didn't, get your ass whipped.
Yep.
And so, but just
no
finally, you know, and, you know, he'd been having these throat problems for so long, and the damn doctors in Victoria didn't think to stick a camera tube down his throat and find that tongue cancer that he had. But, man, I remember when he was going through the chemo and radiation, he was living up there with me in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And it was kicking his ass, and he never complained one time. But he's still here today, and he's still out here hunting at the Broken Skull Ranch.
Oh, yeah. And he ain't changed a bit. You know, earlier we were talking about how you three boys are walking behind him and stepping on sticks, and he reached back to tell you to be quiet. I mean, just this 2 days ago, we were sitting in a deer stand. I moved a little bit. He's back, shh, shh, or be still, don't move, you know.
Jeff was trying to tell a story. They would look at this one deer, and they talk about how long the tines were. And Dad said, God dang, how long do you think those tines were? And Jeff was holding up his fingers to measure them, and it was below the window. But Dad perceived it as being higher than the window. And so, Dad, what did Dad say?
He said, oh, no, keep that down lower. They can't see it.
Yeah, so Dad.
To this day, you know. Go ahead. To this day, when you're sitting in a deer stand with him, he treats you like you're 10 years old just now learning how to hunt.
But the thing about it was...
But it's awesome, you know.
A javelina showed up, and there were still some deer out there. And the javelina was in amongst the deer, so Dad was trying to scare the deer away. So Jeff, who hadn't shot a gun in a long-ass time, could get a shot at this javelina without shooting a deer in the process. So after being still for 2 hours, over 2 hours... After telling Jeff, be careful, you can't tell your story, you don't want the deer to see you, and we've got to be very still here, takes his hat off, sticks his arm out the window and starts waving it and starts tapping on the deer stand.
Get out of here.
To try to scare the deer away for Jeff to get a shot at the lone javelina. And the deer just looked at Dad like he was a dumbass. And we know you've been there all day long, and now you're waving at us to scare us off so you get a shot at the javelina. And I told him, I said, Dad, it's kind of hard to follow you when you go to a deer stand, because as soon as the deer walks out of the brush, they look right at the deer stand.
To see if anybody's in there waving.
God dang it. So it's kind of frustrating on one hand, but I mean, I love Dad to death.
It's priceless, man.
Where was I going with that story? What other song did Dad write? Any of these you remember?
Nah.
Man, did you ever get into Keith Whitley? I thought he was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I always wondered if he hadn't died, where he'd be right now.
Yeah.
Because, man, I thought maybe he was a
badass songwriter.
Super great singer.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he had an awesome voice, and he was a great songwriter. I think he wrote most of his own stuff, too. Yeah, it was unfortunate he went when he did.
Well, so, man, dude, what are your hobbies? All these years that I've known you were brothers, and they and Kodiak. Man, what are your hobbies out there? What do you do for kicks?
Man, I just play my guitar mostly. I mean, you know, and my little two-year-old keeps me busy. But I play guitar. When I live down in Texas, I like to play golf. I used to play golf all the time.
What kind of golf game you got?
Oh, terrible.
Really?
Yeah. I can hit the ball pretty good, but being consistent, I mean, any amateur is hard to be consistent. But I mean, I enjoy it. And something I enjoy doing with Dad. I mean, Dad's 79, and somebody still gets out there and plays golf all the time, man. And he's pretty damn good.
Damn, man, I forget, Jeff, did you play sports in high school?
No, I didn't. I didn't. When I was in junior
high.
Were
you in the hell-raising crowd? What was you doing back in the day?
Yeah, kind of raising hell. But, I mean, I was in the, you know, the old band geek, as they used to say. I was in the marching band, mm-hmm. You know. I kind of figured out, I wasn't quite as big as everybody else. I was always kind of a small guy. When I got in 7th and 8th grade football, you know, all these guys are bigger than me, man. I just kind of, it just wasn't for me, man. I wasn't any good at it. I was a good athlete, but I just... My size kind of hurt me a little bit, and so I just kind of got tired of getting the shit out of me. So when I got in high school, I figured
that means you're smart.
So when I got in high school, I figured, well, hell, man, I'm a musician. I like music. I'm gonna try to get them band out, and hell, I enjoyed that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, and hell, in the marching band, we had a damn good band.
Man, I can't remember what you played in the marching band.
Oh, snare drum. When I first started banding in freshman, man, you get in there and they try out all these different instruments to see what you're going to be good at. And they had me blowing on trumpets, and I don't want to blow anything. I want to be a goddamn drummer. You know, that's what I want to do. I was good enough on the test where I made it as a drummer. Of course, my freshman year, I did play the bass drum. Something was so big, I couldn't even see over the top of it. You know, I was marching. and then a couple of seniors, the drummers, graduated the following year, and then we got all promoted to snare, I mean, a couple of buddies of mine. And, well, fuck, we were damn good, man. We won state marching contests our senior year. But, and had a good time. I mean, hell, we got to ride the bus on the away games with the cheerleaders instead of being with the football players. You know what I'm saying? So, I think I made the right decision, man.
Jeff, when I was in seventh grade, of course, seventh grade was first year that you can play in a band.
Yeah,
I played bass on tuba.
Yeah, I remember you lugging that big glass tuba down. We lived two blocks from school, man. You carrying that so much home.
Well, I'm lucky I only lived two blocks from school. Talk about a J, bro. God, I was first cheer, though. I put on my resume. If there's a rock and roll band out there or a country band that's looking for a good tuba player, I'm for hire. I've been retired, semi-retired. I kind of like actively retired. I don't know what to call myself, what my status is. But I'm open to an offer for anybody that wants or needs a bass player for a country western or rock and roll band. Or maybe even the blues, because I dig the blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually have a tuba.
I don't know what kind of money I'm going to make at that, Jeff. I might have to pay them to let me play in their band.
Probably so, man. Well, but if your tuba playing is anything like you're singing...
No, dude, now I can definitely play the tuba, dude. Now, I'm telling you, when I was first year, I mean, there weren't three of us. I think I won on a coin flip.
You probably won because you're probably the only one that actually gets sound to come out of the damn thing. You got to have a lot of wind to get something come out of a damn tuba.
I wasn't worth it. Let's go and be honest about it. But I don't think they had the heart to put me on third chair. Anyway, if you're looking for my phone number, it's 3106. Stop right there. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Swig a beer for the working man. Take another swig of this. I've got to put my reading glasses on. American Born Moonshine. Flavored. 83 proof. I dig some 83 proof moonshine, Jeff. You got one more song to play for our illustrious crowd out there who's listening to the Steve Austin Show?
I got one more. It's a
what is it?
It's a little different. I sat down one day and it's kind of like reflecting on new country music. It seems like every new country song out there, I don't know if I can put out names or not, but you're Jason Aldean, you're Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, all these new guys. Okay, it seems like every song has a four-wheel drive truck, a girl in a bikini, somebody sitting by a bonfire. Party, drinking beer, and that's what songs, today's country music are about. To me, they're about situations, not like a good story being told, like them older guys used to tell a good old story, you know, with the music. Now it's like you got a girl over here and this and that. And so I sat down and I said, well, I can write a song like that. And I started coming up with these words and got about halfway through it and decided, well, I can kind of turn that into a decent story. So it turned out all right, but it started out as a joke.
talking about songs and stories, man. I mean, she's talking about George Jones. He stopped loving her today, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Grand Tour, or going on to Conway Twitty. That's my job.
Oh yeah, stories. Real deep.
So anyway, on to your song, which was As a Rib. Intended, with all due respect to these artists that he just named, these guys are hitting it big right now. So
yeah.
I don't ever run anybody down on my podcast, but we're talking music and opinion. It is what it is. Go for it.
All right. This song's called Your Place or Mine.
You were standing by the bonfire. Just your bikini. When I pulled up in my jacked up truck, hoping you would see me. I walked up to you with a long neck in my hand. That's when you told me I was your kind of man. I said, your place or mine. Oh, I can waste no time. Right now at 7:30, I wanna be naked by 9. You said, just take it easy. Let's where it goes. Sometimes you never really know. So I made my way to the keg and I filled my cup full. Staring at you, I felt just like a fool. Then like a dream, I saw you walk my way. I nearly hit the ground when I heard your pretty lips say, you're a place of mine, I think it might be time. Right now it's 8:30, I want to be in your arms by 9. I said, we can take it easy, let's see where it goes. But sometimes you never really know. Can't believe we made it where we started from. Now it's your place and mine. We never get the time. Right now it's 8:30. I gotta be in bed by 9. So glad we took the chance all those years ago. Sometimes you never really know. Yeah, I'm so glad we took the chance all those. Sometimes you never really know. Cause when it comes to love, nobody knows. Oh,
how's that for a song?
It's 8:30. We got to be in bed by 9. As we speak, goddamn, it's 11:36. I wasn't planning on being awake by the time it struck the new year, but it looks like the way it's headed, it probably will be. Swig of moonshine for the music man. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to count down a hell of a goddamn New Year's Eve. We probably ain't going to last that long. We're going to wrap this thing up. So, Jeff, you're in Kodiak, Alaska, the working man, working on the carpenter business, playing guitar on the side. Man, not you used to hunt back in the day a little bit. I mean, you never was a hardcore hunter, but, I mean, out there in Alaska, I mean, you're in the wildest of the wilds. I mean,
yeah.
My brother Kevin, who's 10 months younger than me, is from, my first, our original dad, James Anderson. When he was in the Coast Guard, he would go out to those rivers. Man, he wasn't making much money. And it was illegal to scoop him salmon out of the stream, but he would scoop them out of the stream because they needed to eat them.
Yeah.
And so, did you ever go out there and do any hunting or getting out of the wild or do any trekking out there in the woods?
I've done some fishing. Not much hunting. I haven't gotten into the hunting up there. Hunting up there is a lot of work, you know. I ain't got the interest to do that, man. I'd rather come out to a place like this and sit in the deer stand.
What are you eating out there? You just eating basic hamburgers, chicken, and shit like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Basically, like groceries are double what they are in Alaska, what they are probably in L.A. or Texas. Because they got to ship the stuff over.
Yeah, everything's got to be shipped, especially where I live is Kodiak, which is an island separate from the whole rest of the state of Alaska. But the rest of the state's pretty expensive, too, the cost of living, because of that. But, I mean, but the wages are considerably higher, too, to allow for that. I mean, you can go a carpenter down here in Texas that makes $20 an hour, can go to Kodiak and make $40 an hour, Right. So it all kind of evens out.
Man, what do y'all own? As far as television goes, y'all own DirecTV or
what? Oh, no, there's a cable company called GCI. You can get satellite, too, but GCI is pretty good.
Yeah, you do get CMT when you run that guy.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah, we get all that.
You got to help a brother out and help me with the ratings.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'll watch it, man.
You watch it? Redneck Island's on right now.
I know.
All right. Some Broken Skull Challenge is on January 4th. Broken Skull Challenge. That's season premiere. You got to set your DVR. You got a DVR where?
TiVo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. TiVo. Yeah,
I know.
Man, you got to help a brother out. I mean, I'm not talking about helping a brother. I'm talking about your real brother.
Oh, yeah, man. The first season, dude, we didn't miss the episode, man.
Compelling TV. Definitely. There's a lot of bullshit out there, but when you put on a Broken Skull Challenge, a redneck guy, you're talking about a Mac kind of. Hey, this is Steve Austin. I'm coming to you from Broken Skull Ranch. I'm talking with my brother, my baby brother, Jeff Williams, Kodiak, Alaska, by way of Victoria, by way of Edmond. But we'll catch your ass down the road.
Thank you, Steve.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner.
My government name.
Check it out. I host a show called the Big Brother Jake Podcast, and I've taken my talents to the biggest and baddest platform on the planet. That's right, baby, Podcast One. My show is unique as I talk about everything. Life, sports, entertainment, being a single dad juggling several jobs. I'm a hot mess, but it's damn entertaining. Subscribe and review now on Apple Podcasts and listen on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.